Jesus tells us another story about heaven and hell. And it's ironic, but very good of the Lord. The two major passages that the Lord used to teach about eternity are very similar when you think of them. Last week, the rich man and Lazarus, and how the Lord examined the heart based on how people responded to others around them and how people responded to His Word. So heaven and hell have to do with where we're at with Christ. That shows up by how we behave. And today also in the story of the sheep and the goats, about God's examination of our lives. It's one of the more sobering passages, but also very motivating, I think, to find Jesus in the passage and to see ourselves there also. Last week's passage of the rich man and Lazarus, remember, one of the main points was we show our destiny by how we respond to the Bible. We show our destiny by how we respond to the Bible. Remember the man who was in hell, he said, "Son, help me, send somebody to help and tell others not to come here." And Jesus' response through Abraham was, "They have Moses and the prophets. Listen to them." So listen to the Bible. If we don't listen to the Bible, we're not going to listen to the Lord. So a good examination for our own hearts, you know. Well, I'll see what the Lord has to say twice a week. And that's as much intensity as I could drum up with, and in terms of following Him. Well, we're not going to listen to the Bible, not going to listen to Him, and we're more in the shoes of the rich man caught up in life instead of thinking of the Lord. And this story also, a story of warning, but also of promise. We show our destiny by how we respond to our brother in need. Okay? We show our destiny by how we respond to our brother in need. And that's the way God does things. The passage might jolt us, but the Lord wants to jolt us and have us check our relationship with Him. Years ago, J. Vernon McGee made a comment that rings true with this passage and the Lord separating the sheep and the goats. He says, it's God's universe. He does what He wants. You may think you have a better way, but you don't have a universe. So that's something to remember as we look at one of these passages. First, we see, with the help of Dana and Fred, that the passage clearly shows us that Jesus is King, and we're to honor Him. It's so great to see all the phrases mentioned about the Lord in the passage that are true today and will be more apparent in His coming. He comes in His glory. That's all the honor of heaven and earth. And you could let your mind go to what the Lord means to you in your personal life this past week. Faithful, true to you, merciful, your fortress, your rest, your strength, all the things the Lord is. He comes and He shows His greatness. He comes with all His angels. And I remember the part in Gethsemane where there's going to be a fight. You know, you might have a fight spiritually in your soul. And Jesus said, I could call 12,000 legions of angels to win this battle. And the Lord will win battles in your soul that you can't win for yourself. He's the King. Reminds me of the story of how we live in the presence of God all the time and really need to be thinking, well, He's the King. I want Him to respond. I want to respond well to Him in my thinking and in my actions. The story Francis Chan tells, who's a speaker to young people but also to others, he was asked to speak at a national conference where there would be a lot of other great Bible teachers there. And he said it was his turn to speak, his day to speak, so he's up giving the message. And he notices on the front pew, John MacArthur, sitting there on the front pew. John MacArthur is a very well-known Bible teacher. And he said, oh boy, he was a childhood hero of mine. I've listened to him for decades, and there he is sitting on the front pew while I'm preaching the Word. He said it was very intimidating. And because he was a little anxious about that, he really didn't preach very well. And after the service, his wife said, what was that all about? You didn't seem like yourself, and you got lost, and and everything like that. He said, well, John MacArthur's sitting right on the front pew. You know, that was tough for me to deal with. And she said, wait, let me get this straight. John MacArthur was on the front pew, and you know your whole life's lived before Jesus, the King of Kings, and He's especially present when there's two or three gathered in His name, and God's right there too, and you're concerned about John MacArthur? You know, and Francis Chan looked at his wife and says, you don't even know who John MacArthur is. So sometimes the way we live, with more concern about, you know, who we're really living for, or saying words in front of, we say them before the Lord. He's the one who has the glory, the power, the strength, and honor goes to Him, and He has the angels. He separates the sheep from the goats, and only He could do that. Have you ever wanted to separate the sheep from the goats in the people that you know? And even in church, usually once or twice a year, someone will come up to me and say, Norwin Alliance Church, how many people do you think at Norwin Alliance Church really know the Lord? Usually asked by somebody who assumes they're a sheep. Okay? And they say, how many do you really think really know the Lord? And how many are sheep and how many are goats? I say, you know, I can look at somebody's fruit in their lives and say, boy, by the behavior, I could see some things about how they really follow Christ and know Him. I mean, they could say one thing, but I could see more by their behavior what's really going on in their soul. And I said, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be the one to separate the sheep and the goats, because I'd have some goats in the sheep pen and say, all right, you know, what do you do? You mixed them up. And also, I'd have some sheep with the goats. Like, they're definitely not a sheep. But God says, hey, He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Let Him do that. That's a check on our own soul. Paul, when he looked at his life and his ministry, he said something really convicting. He says, I don't even judge myself. It is God who's going to give the verdict. We give our hearts to Jesus as much as we can fall upon Him in faith and helplessness. But He's the one. And thankfully, His Spirit does bear witness to our spirit if we belong to Him. God wants us to have that assurance. But He don't want us to go separating sheep and goats, you know, based on some little formula we have in our life. It's not the Lord's way. So Jesus as King in His glory and the accountability we have to Him is really it's tremendous. And God judges our heart. We look on the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. And the wonderful thing about the first part of the story, Jesus says to the sheep, come. Isn't that great that the Lord would call us to Himself and offer that relationship? How many people have told you this week with great love and intensity, come? You know, sometimes we say it with impatience. Come on, you're late. Or, are you coming or not? Not the Lord. Come. Your Father's favor is with you. This inheritance has been planned since the beginning of creation. What great love the Lord would have. And these sheep who get to hear the word, come, you know, they start to live in a way that shows that they've said yes to this King who would give them the inheritance. What a wonderful Savior. The favor and blessing of God was on them. So they started to live like sheep. Happened to hear Billy Graham yesterday in a rerun of one of his sermons say on his place in North Carolina, they own three sheep. They had built a big pen for the sheep. The sheep always are running away. Always. And how our heart strays without the Lord. He said, and there was one goat on the property too. The goat was a total nuisance. The goat was always there when you didn't want him to be there. And, you know, very strong-willed type animal. Well, the Lord says, come to the sheep. Jesus is King, Know that in your soul. If you've never turned to Him and said, you know, my life, I'm lost without You. I need a Messiah, a Savior. Jesus, You're the one. You're the only one. Make Him your King. And then Jesus is followed in the passage. Jesus said, these sheep, they started following Me because there were people who were hungry, thirsty, and a stranger, sick, in prison, and needing clothes. And these sheep reached out to them in a way. And while they did that, they were actually ministering to Christ Himself, according to the Lord. It touched Him in that way. It shows us a couple things, I think, as people. You will find Jesus among the broken of the world. You really will. You will find Jesus among the broken of the world. And Wendy mentioned the Trump Plaza, you know. Doesn't matter how much the guy has. If his soul's broken, it's broken. You could have the broken in the Trump Plaza, and you could have the broken lying on the steps of the church. That was an ironic contrast, by the way. You know, keep people away from church and keep people away from resources. How dumb can you be? You know, there's the needs right there. Jesus said, the sheep, I was hungry, they fed Me. I was thirsty, I was sick and in prison, and they visited a stranger and welcomed. You might say, well, I'm broken. I can't even help anybody else. Well, then look, the Lord will be toward you. What a comfort it is for us to share with people who are alone, maybe, widows, orphans, the fatherless, and say, God promises to take care of you. He really does. And He will do it through His people. God promises to take care of you. So Jesus is followed by these sheep, and He is such a good teacher, they're following Jesus and they don't even realize it. Jesus said, you help Me. And we said, what? When did I help you? That's what you call service in humility. You're serving the Lord and you don't even realize you're doing it. Your right hand doesn't have a chance to congratulate your left hand or pat yourself on the head or whatever you do. There. You served because you were saved. That's part of the message of that passage. Heaven. The invitation of Christ. You reached out because God had changed your heart. You served because you were saved. Your destiny was shown by how you treated people. But that's a high standard. And Lord, help my feet and my hands to match who is truly in my heart. Sobering part of the story, too. Jesus is rejected. All the sheep did, by the way, they walked in the good works that God prepared in advance for them to do. Ephesians 2:10. They walked in the good works that God prepared in advance for them to do. Sobering part of the story. Jesus is rejected. How's He rejected? First of all, He says loud and clear, depart from Me, you who are cursed. If you ever had people in your life cuss you out, which probably all of us have at one time or another, not a pleasant experience. If you're a stranger, you just say, well, you know, who cares? If it's a family member, you say, ouch, my own family member cussed me out. If it's the Lord who says, you're cursed, that's something we want to say, Lord, let your mercy be with us. Because we know what we deserve, but we're coming to You for the gift, because Jesus died in our behalf. So those are Jesus' words, cursed into the eternal fire. That's His words. He mentions them a number of times in the Gospels. It's meant to get our attention. It's not a comic book illustration. It is the words of Jesus. And He says, get away. I was hungry. I was a stranger. I was sick in prison. And you did not reach out to Me. You did not serve because you were not saved. That's really one of the main points of the passage. The destiny was shown by the lack of love in practical ways in the goats' hearts. Okay, and what a devastating thing it is. And see in our own souls the tendency to miss Jesus in our everyday living. You know, when you see a person, can I treat them as if they're Jesus himself? Paul, he said it felt like that even when we went to the Galatian church, who was a messed up church, didn't know clearly the right way of salvation. Paul said, but when I came to you, you welcomed me as if I was Christ himself. So that's something the Lord could put on our souls. I got to treat this person like they're the Lord, because he has something to do with them. His fingerprints on their life. His presence is with them. Gives our accountability to again, help those in need. God has worked faithfully through his people throughout the centuries to do this. That's part of your calling as a believer. You have great organizations. Samaritan's Purse. Tell the gospel. Share practically. You have Salvation Army. Share the gospel. Share practically. I was just wondering in passing what a Muslim thinks when he hears the word Salvation Army. You ever meet a Muslim and you say, I like the Salvation Army. They might, I knew these Christians were fierce. But you're fierce with God's love. Comma Services, Christian and Mercy Associates. That's of the alliance, helping people as the gospel's given, and all kind of other groups. The calling to take care of the poor, the fatherless, the widow. God says, I will do that through my people. I mentioned four passages last week from the Old Testament. I mentioned four today. Just to get that in our discipleship. Galatians 2, Paul said, you encouraged me to remember the poor, which I was eager to do so. So here's the greatest missionary ever lived saying, hey, part of my calling and momentum in my life is to remember the poor. I'm eager to do that. Okay, Lord, I hear that. I want to get that in my soul. James chapter 2, right before he says, faith without works is dead, he says, if the guy doesn't have anything and you say, go be blessed and be well, that's no faith. That's dead works. Faith without works is dead. Jesus in Luke chapter 12 says, sell your possessions, give to the poor. That's a heart attitude. Heart attitude. We have a great opportunity to minister to the Lord himself. Mother Teresa was asked one day, she was visited by some American Christians, and they had great time together. And they said, Mother Teresa, these are some of the songs we sing in worship. And they help us feel close to the Lord, you know. So they had the songs, and she said, that sounds really tremendous. He says, what do you do? What do you, sing and to feel close to the Lord? She said, we sing all kinds of songs, But she says, when I really want to feel close to the Lord, I go out and help some people who need help. So I feel close to the Lord. Minister to Jesus himself. Luke 11, Jesus told the religious leaders, give what's inside the plate to the poor, or rather the cup. That was to have a clean heart toward those who have needs. And we stand before God and we say, well, I fail this test. You know, we could be at peace with God and say, Lord, come in my life and change the direction of my soul to the people around me. Jesus called them the least of the brothers. Thank you, guys. The least of the brothers. The second part of the passage, he says, the least of these. Least of these. And I'm aware, I'll let you know, did a lot of thinking on how to apply the passage. I'm aware that when Christians look at this passage, they say, yeah, I think he's just saying, be nice to your fellow Christian. You know, that's the whole goal. So just do that and you'll be fine. You'll be a good sheep. Others would say, no, it refers to everybody who has needs. Even others would say, this has something to do with the tribulation and how you treat Jewish believers in the tribulation. Is that clear from the passage? Or you have to do a few somersaults to get there. But if you have a Scofield Bible, you know what I'm talking about. But however you see the least of these, The application is the same. You know, our heart is shown by our actions. And God give us merciful actions from the merciful heart that Jesus has given us. Doesn't it change your life when you get outside yourself and do that? You find, boy, it was almost like ministering to Jesus when I just gave this guy a cup of cold water, you know. There's a true story close to closing of a little girl who had a birthday party. She was 7 years old. And she invited all her friends, had a lot of friends, had a big family, and they brought her birthday gifts, mostly in forms of cards and gifts of money. And she said, after opening all the cards, she got $450 for her birthday. And she was excited. She told her parents, and it was a Christian family, and she said, you know, Mom and Dad, I have a lot of stuff in my room. I really do. A lot of clothes, I mean, a lot of toys, this, that, and the other, whatever girls have there. And I'd like to take these gifts. And, you know, I know there's that city mission the church was talking about, and I'd like to help some people there. And I remember some lady from a woman's care center coming and saying, well, they need diapers for these babies, you know, at these women's care centers. And I met this missionary, and I want to give so that they can go and tell others of Jesus. Let's give the whole $450 away to these groups. And the parents initially said, you know what, you're only seven. You don't understand, you know, what you're dealing with here. But when you think about the heart of the little girl, not just her lavishness, but the heart of the little girl, was she crazy for doing what she did? Would Jesus say she's crazy for doing that? Or would she be more crazy if she said, let's just buy some more stuff for my room? Which one really shows the heart of a sheep or the heart of a goat? And it's been said nobody's ever lived like a goat in an honorable way. You know, just pass others by because you weren't at peace with God. Nobody lived like a goat and felt it was the honorable thing to do. And the passage, I think, too, is a real call to obedience. As we've been learning in Sunday school, hey, passages like this, sometimes we look at it and say, I don't like what Jesus taught there. Just want to let him know that. Don't like it. Well, again, he's the Lord. But to come before the passage and say, Lord, help me obey you and leave the consequences to you. That's been something, you know, we've been learning about. Obey God and leave the consequences to him. When the need is there, and the consequences will be ministering to Jesus. It involves the heart, it involves heaven and hell, it involves Jesus' fair and just examination of our lives. So we lean on the Savior and we say, Jesus, I can't be a sheep without your help. That's for sure. I'll be the biggest goat in town. No doubt about it. You might say to him, Lord, I'm a goat. Please give me a sheep's heart. Be a good response to the passage. And help me to live as if I'm serving you by serving others. And what eternity will be changed, you know, just by your response to the good Lord and his good word today. Word of promise, word of warning, we take them as from him. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for telling us about the future, giving us both promise and warning, the grace of being a sheep of yours, the fearful reality of being a goat who would pass you by, and both with heart and action. And we want to respond in a way to honor the King. I think that's what the passage was all about. And so help us honor you by trust, through Jesus we're alone, we're forgiven and given salvation, and then let our actions follow the gift of eternal life that you've given. And bless each one here, Lord. If there's some who would say, well, I just feel, I can't live like that. Help them to know, Lord, the shepherd could help us be a sheep. And if somebody never received you, help them to know it's a garbage way to live like a goat. And they could say, Jesus, save my soul, and you will. Bless us as we go today in Jesus' name. Amen.